Happy New Year. The other day I received a little animated video. It was about 2020 and 2021. Maybe some of you saw this. At the beginning, it's a little cartoon really. There are the four numbers, 2020. But the last zero is in the shape of a coronavirus, you know, a sphere with the spikes. Everyone knows what it looks like now. So there's the coronavirus, and then the first two and the zero and the second two, they're all pushing and struggling and groaning and trying to get rid of this virus. They can't get it out of its place. And the virus is standing there laughing and taunting them teasing them. And so the other three numbers, the two, the zero, the two, eventually they give up. They don't know what to do. They can't get rid of the virus. And then one of the twos comes up with an idea and whistles. And along from the left side of the screen comes a number one. And the number one walks along, and one of the twos points at the virus. And so the number one walks up to the virus, and they look each other in the eye, and the virus starts taunting the number one, and laughing at him and dancing, like saying, as if to say, you can't get rid of me. And the number one pulls out a big syringe and stabs the virus in the side, and the virus screams out in fright, and then the number one kicks the virus off the screen and stands in his place. And then it's 2021, and a banner comes down from the top, Happy New Year, and the numbers 2021, 2021 are very happy to be free of the virus. It's a clever little cartoon, and we can all immediately get the message. Despite all our best efforts all year, we couldn't get rid of the COVID-19 virus in 2020. But in 2021, we're going to kick it out, and we'll be rid of it forever. Happy New Year. That's the message. A Happy New Year to have no more COVID-19. So it's a happy thought. It's something to look forward to. We look forward to the post COVID-19 era. We look forward to 2021 with a sense of relief that 2020 is over, and with hope that 2021 will be a better year. I think everybody hopes that. Can hardly be worse, but we hope it will be better. But what's the basis for our hope? Are we putting our trust in science? Are we putting our trust in medicine? Are we putting our trust in safety protocols, vaccines? Even the scientists and the doctors, the experts in this sort of thing, they're all telling us that this worldwide crisis is far from over. We're still in GCQ after all. Look, just look around. Everybody's got to wear a mask and a face shield, and you're all very properly distanced, and that's right. I mean, we have to do that. That's the right thing. But it shows that we're still in the middle of this pandemic, and the year 2021 starts in a couple of hours, is not starting out fresh. We're still more of the same. So worldly hope is not all that hopeful. It's not all that consoling. Can we be sure that the new year is going to be better than the last year? Not necessarily. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a better basis for hope. Our trust is in God. Our trust is in God, not in doctors and governments and medicines and everything that we've been doing all this time. So as we start the new year, we turn not to the news, not to the making of noise, not to any human solutions, but to the strength that we gain by our faith in God. The church, on New Year's Eve, looks not to the changing of the calendar or to the other human distractions that catch people tonight, but the church looks to the birth of Jesus Christ and to the role of Mary, his mother. On the church's calendar and in the church's prayer books, it doesn't say anything about the new year. It says this is the octave day of Christmas, the eighth day of celebration of Jesus' birthday. We're still celebrating the birth of the Word made flesh. And this is the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. So this gives us something else to think about, something more powerful and more important than any virus, any pandemic, or anything else. What's more powerful than a pandemic? God is more powerful. That's our hope. That's why we can rejoice. That's why we can say Happy New Year, because we put our trust in God. And God has come among us as a man, born in Bethlehem, born of a woman, born under the law, the reading says. In today's gospel, it says that the shepherds who were told this by the angel decide to go to Bethlehem and see what this is all about. They go there and they find out what the angel said is true. They found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. Mary and Joseph and the infant. Joseph, Mary, Jesus. This is what they found. This is what they found. So these three people, I think, can give us a lot to reflect on tonight. So let's take a moment to reflect on each one of them. Let's start with Joseph. Joseph, who normally doesn't get much attention anymore once Christmas Day is passed, but since Pope Francis has designated this as the year of Saint Joseph, and since this gospel passage is one of the few passages that mentions Joseph, let's start with him. Joseph is probably the first person that the shepherds met when they arrived at the stable in Bethlehem. And he probably asked them what in the world they were doing there. Remember, it's the middle of the night, and he didn't know who they were. So Joseph, a good father, probably did what any good father would do. He protected the mother and the child. He's not about to let a bunch of filthy shepherds who just show up in the middle of the night and let them anywhere near his family. That'd be his first instinct. Anybody would. But Joseph, the protector, is also a good listener. He doesn't have a judgment against them. He just knows his role to protect the Holy Family. So he listens to what these shepherds say, and he hears them say, well, they saw an angel, they saw choirs of angels, and the angels told them to go to Bethlehem and see the infant lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. That's what the angel told them, and they're just doing what the angel said. Joseph, because he's a man of faith, could believe that God would give these men this message. And he would say to himself, well, if God wants these poor, simple men, these shepherds, to know Jesus, I'm not going to get in their way. No doubt he ushered the shepherds in and introduced them to Mary and to Jesus. Of course he would do that. He's obedient to what God revealed. What's the lesson for us? Joseph. Joseph is the protector of the universal church, the patron. Joseph is always protecting the church from any unwelcome intrusion, errors, confusion, attacks. But he's also ready to usher us in and to introduce us to Mary and to Jesus. This is the role of Joseph, and we'll be reflecting on this throughout this year of St. Joseph. Okay, so he's the first one. Secondly, Mary. Now we know Mary gave birth to Jesus. There's no dispute about that. But today's feast honors Mary with an extraordinary title. Not only Mother of Jesus, which she is, but Mother of God. Mother of God. The famous Greek word for that, Theotokos, God-bearer. Mother of God. Now this is a familiar term to us when we say the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. We say it all the time, and we don't think that much about it. But on this feast day, we should think about it, because it's an amazing thing to say, Mother of God. A God, after all, is eternal. He's infinite. He doesn't come from anywhere or from anyone. He has no beginning, he has no end. How can anybody say he has a mother? We're not talking about Greek gods here. They have children and they're all gods and there's all a bunch of gods. We're talking about the one, the only God, the only eternal true God. How can anyone say he has a mother? He has no mother. He doesn't need a mother until he decides to become man. Then to be a man like us, he has to have a mother like us, because everybody has a mother. There isn't anybody in the world who doesn't have a mother, who isn't born of a mother. So Jesus is born of Mary. The person whom Mary gives birth to is not just another human baby, he's also a divine baby. And if Jesus is God and Mary is his mother, simple logic, Mary is Mother of God. And that's what we honor her in this feast day. We honor her as Mother of God. Which brings us to the most important person of all in this story, Joseph, Mary, Jesus. Jesus. Mary leads us to Jesus. Joseph leads us to Jesus. To Jesus through Mary, the saints tell us. What can we say about Jesus? Jesus, my Lord and my God. Let's highlight simply for tonight anyway, his holy name, the name Jesus, which was conferred on him on the eighth day. That's why we read this passage on the eighth day of Christmas. It says here, when 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The name Jesus means God saves, and we need to be saved. We're facing a pandemic, we're facing a worldwide health crisis, and we need to be saved. Worse than that, we're facing division, we're facing weakness, confusion, poverty, typhoons, floods, and we need to be saved. Worse than that, we're facing temptation. We're facing the influence of evil spirits. We're facing sin. We're facing death. And we need to be saved. We don't have the power to overcome sin and death by ourselves. We need to be saved. The good news is we have a Savior. We have a Savior. And his name is Jesus. The name above every other name, Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't record Joseph saying anything. But for sure, he said the name of Jesus, because he gave him that name. That was the role of the father on the eighth day. What's his name? Jesus. We know that Joseph said the name of Jesus. But if we want salvation, we call on this name. If we want to be saved, if we want to be protected, if we want freedom, we call on this name. Fireworks, they're a lot of fun. Sure, I love fireworks. Making noise, that's a lot of fun, especially for children. We're all kind of like children on New Year's Eve, making a lot of noise. Fine, so, and it's part of the culture, and wearing certain clothes and eating certain foods, fine, that's all a lot of fun. It's enjoyable, it's a way of celebrating, it's a way of showing our gratitude. But don't put trust in these things as if they actually make anything different. Don't live by superstitions. Some people think that noise is going to drive away evil spirits. It doesn't. It has no influence on evil spirits. If anything, they like noise. But don't live by superstition. Evil spirits are not driven away by noise or by lights. They are driven away by Jesus Christ. They're driven away by the prayers of the church in His name. So, here it is, New Year's Eve. Together with Mary, whom we honor as Mother of God, Mother of Jesus Christ, Mother of the Church, that's our parish, and together with Joseph, her spouse, her blessed spouse, let us put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Him, we have salvation. And when we have salvation, then we can have a happy New Year.